Today's scripture is 1 Samuel 16, 1, and then verses 4 through 13. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long are you going to grieve over Saul? I have rejected him as our king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and get going. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem because I have found my next king among his sons." Samuel did what the Lord instructed. When he came to Bethlehem, the city elders came to meet him. They were shaking with fear. "Do you come in peace?" they asked. "Yes," Samuel answered. "I've come to make a sacrifice to the Lord. Now make yourselves holy, then come with me to the sacrifice." Samuel made Jesse and his sons holy and invited them to the sacrifice as well. When they arrived, Samuel looked at Eliab and thought, "That must be the Lord's anointed right in front." But the Lord said to Samuel, "I have no regard for his appearance or stature, because I haven't selected him. God doesn't look at things like humans do. Humans see only what is visible to the eyes, but the Lord sees into the heart." Next, Jesse called for Abinadab, who presented himself to Samuel. But he said, "The Lord hasn't chosen this one either." So Jesse presented Shammah, but Samuel said, "No, the Lord hasn't chosen this one." Jesse presented seven of his sons to Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord hasn't picked any of these." Then Samuel asked Jesse, "Is that all of your boys?" "There is still the youngest one," Jesse answered, "but he's out keeping the sheep." "Send for him," Samuel told Jesse, "because we can't proceed until he gets here." So Jesse sent and brought him in. He was reddish brown, had beautiful eyes, and was good looking. The Lord said, "That's the one. Go anoint him." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him right there in front of his brothers. The Lord's Spirit came over David from that point forward. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank you, Kathy. I'm Pastor Tom Palmer, a work-in-progress person and pastor in a work-in-progress congregation. So if you're a guest with us this morning and you don't have it all together all the time, you've come to the right place, because this is a place of grace, and it's been a place of grace for almost 100 and how many years? 140 years. A place of grace for almost 140 years. And we're a place where all are beloved, all belong, and all can become all that God has called them to be through the grace of Jesus Christ. We're also an intentionally intergenerational community. I love the stained glass window over here. I love all the stained glass windows, but the one here on the right, Jesus and the children. Let the children come unto me. And so we are that kind of community. So we're glad that the children are with us in worship this day. And the message series, in fact, was inspired by our students. We decided we were going to have a summer movie series, but wanted our students to select the movies. And so they came up with some movies that they felt like were good conversation starters that had elements of the story that really related to the faith. And so today, our second in the movie series is Captain America, the First Avenger. Captain America is about this young man by the name of Steve Rogers. And Steve Rogers had a big heart. He had a heroic heart. He had this amazing heart, but he had this physique that did not match his amazing heart. He was frail, he was scrawny, and he was so unimpressive physically that when World War II broke out and all of his friends were enlisting and he wanted to enlist, time and time again he did not pass the physical. He could not enlist. And so he tried and tried and tried. And finally, he was able to get the eye of a special doctor by the name of Abraham Eskreen. Abraham Eskreen saw something in Steve that was special. And he had, along with others, were developing a strategic scientific initiative to create a new kind of soldier, a super soldier. And so he saw something in Steve that could lead him to perhaps receive the serum to become that super soldier. But one of his cohorts A Colonel Phillips, Colonel Phillips did not see that and just thought of him as skinny and scrawny and weak until this moment. Let's take a listen at this.
As medic onto my army base, I let it slide. I thought, what the hell, maybe it'd be useful to you, like a gerbil. Never thought you'd pick him.
Oh. Stick a needle in that kid's arm, it's going to go right through him.
Come on, girls.
Look at that. He's making me cry.
I am looking for qualities beyond the physical.
Do you know how long it took to set up this project? All the groveling I had to do in front of Senator What's-His-Name's committees?
Yes, I know. I am well aware of your efforts.
Then throw me a bone. Hodge passed every test we gave him. He's big, he's fast, he obeys orders, he's a soldier.
He's a bully.
You don't win wars with niceness, Doctor. You win wars with guts.
Get away! Get back!
Dummy grenade. All clear. Back in formation.
Is this a test?
He's still skinny.
He was still skinny, but he had that heart. He had the heart of self-sacrifice. He had this heart willing to fall on the live grenade in order to serve his country and to serve his fellow soldiers. He didn't look impressive externally. He didn't look impressive in terms of his appearance or his physique. But Steve Rogers... Yes, scrawny, scrappy Steve Rogers. The least likely to be a super soldier received the serum to become Captain America. Captain America. In much the same way, David, little David, skinny, scrawny David. The least likely of Jesse's sons to be anointed, there was something about him. And he was anointed to be king of Israel. Now, why would God do that? Why would God choose someone like that? Well, the scripture reminds us, as the world sees in ways different than God sees. The world judges by outward appearance. The world has a way of sizing a person up based on externals, by appearance. But the scripture says that God sees differently than the world sees. The Lord looks upon the heart. The Lord sees the real you, the real you, the real you. The child of God in you. And wants us to see the child of God in one another. God sees differently. And so, just as Samuel was about to pour the anointing oil over the obvious son of Jesse, Eliab, he looked the part. Just as he was about to pour the oil, the Lord said no. And then, as Samuel went down the line and was to the next, Abinadab. Surely the Lord is chose Abinadab and about to pour the oil on Abinadab's head, and the Lord said no. And then Shammai. Surely Shammai would be the one. If not Eliab or Abinadab, surely Shammai. And about to pour the oil of anointing on Shammai's head, and the Lord said no. And down the line they went, seven brothers. And finally Samuel said, do you have any other sons? And Jesse said, well, yeah, we got one other. But he's scrawny. And he's skinny. And worst of all, he's out tending the sheep. Way out tending the sheep. And you know what it's like tending the sheep. When he comes, he's going to smell. I mean, he's going to smell like sheep. He certainly is not the one. Bring him here. And Samuel began to see that God sees differently. And God looked upon the heart. Looked upon the heart of the one who was tending the sheep. Which, by the way, was the least prestigious position available in the world of that day. I mean, this was not a glamorous position, okay? This was not what was going to be on the CV of someone who was going to be king of Israel. But God saw the heart of someone who served the sheep and chose that one to be the shepherd of Israel. The shepherd of Israel. Because his heart had been formed by serving. By serving. By serving. That's something that you don't take a standardized test for. But my, oh my. When God is looking for someone to change the world, God is looking for the heart of someone who serves. And God chose David. David, whose heart had been formed out in obscurity, serving the sheep to be the shepherd of Israel. And he served. 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 And he served well. For so many years, David served faithfully. His heart being formed by serving. But there came a day. Maybe it wasn't just one day, but you know how human beings are. Sometimes we wander. And maybe it wasn't just one day, but maybe David had become maybe a little complacent. Maybe David had become a little comfortable. Maybe David had become a little confident in his own strength and power and abilities. You know how human beings get sometimes. When things are going well, we kind of think it's us. Anyway, one day he sent out the armies to battle, but he didn't go with them. And David's heart wandered and gravitated. Instead of serving others, he served himself. He abused his power. He took a person as a possession and murdered her husband. David's family never recovered from that, really. He had a heart after God, and God forgave him, but his descendants, the kings that came after him, too often, instead of serving the needs of the people, serving the greater good, they tended to follow David's wandering heart and serve themselves, serve their own self-indulgent tendencies. They made it all about them. And so the prophets would call them back and call them to a greater good. But the people tended to follow their king, and they weren't a light to the nations. They weren't the servant that God called them to be. And so finally, God sent his son who would be known as the Anointed One. That's what Messiah means, Anointed One. That's where we get the word Christ. Christ in Greek is Anointed One. God sent his son to be the Anointed One, anointed by the Holy Spirit to express to us what the heart of God truly is all about. The heart that serves. And he served. And he served. And he served. And he saw justice and righteousness and healing and mercy and love. God's love for all the people. And taught the way of God and the kingdom of God. And when people rejected the kingdom of God, because we tend to do that, when we're offered the choice to do God's will or our will, we sometimes say, "My will be done." When the people said, "My will be done," and threw the live grenade, he fell on it on the cross. Took our rejection and sin and selfishness upon himself and cried out, "Father, forgive. Father, forgive, offering us in the cross an empty tomb, this anointed one, this one anointed by the Holy Spirit, the gift of grace, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of mercy, the only gift that can change the human heart. The only gift that can begin to change the human heart is the gift of grace, that forgiveness, that love. One of the followers of Jesus, the anointed one, whose heart was changed on the road to Damascus, once wrote the churches of Galatia and said, "You've been given the gift of freedom, sisters and brothers. You've been given the gift of freedom. But don't use the gift of freedom for your own self, all about you, your self-indulgence. But through love, serve one another." Because it's always a temptation about us human beings to make it all about us. To use the gift of freedom that we've been given to pursue our will be done, our selfish pursuits. I confess to you that too often my heart wanders, my heart gravitates toward that all about me, and I kind of get into that selfish place, following the latter David. I need a heart more like Steve Rogers, the captain. I need a heart more like the founders who 243 years ago put their lives and their livelihoods on the line for a greater good. I need a heart more like what Catherine Lee Bates described when she stood atop Pikes Peak and wrote these words, "America, America, may God thy gold refine, till all success be nobleness, and every gain divine." Want to be great? Want America to be great? We've got to be great through serving. Serving. That's what defines greatness for us as disciples, as us as a church, serving the least, the last, and the lost. Whatever the external packaging is, I need a heart like that. We need a heart like that. And most of all, we need a heart like the one, the anointed one, Jesus the Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life. To give his life and to give his grace. His grace, the only gift that can change the human heart. The only gift that can change my heart when I'm in a place of selfishness all about me, which I get sometimes. The only gift that can change the human heart is grace. Grace. And we're offered grace this morning. Oddly enough, have you ever thought about this? We're feasting on grace through Holy Communion. If you told your friends, "I'm coming to a feast this morning," and said, "What's on the menu?" "Well, it's grape juice and wine bread." Well, I think most people would define feast in a different way. But see, God uses the ordinary. God is not about outward appearances, right? God sometimes is a way of using the least likely elements, simple elements, to convey the depth of love. And so as you come to the table this morning, let's not come seeing as the world sees, but let's look upon the heart. And may the grace of God begin to transform our hearts as we receive this banquet of grace this morning. Will you pray with me? God, you, in your grace, do things in a different way than the world does. You look upon the heart. You look upon us and see the real us, even as you saw the real Steve Rogers and the real David. You came as Jesus to be real and to show us what real love is about. And he, in dying and rising, gave us this meal and anointed us with the Spirit that we might experience your grace and be transformed from those who are all about serving ourselves to serving others. Oh God, this day, as we come to this table, may we experience your grace. And may our hearts begin to be transformed from the place of all about me to all about your purposes and your love and your grace. For in that we find our truest fulfillment and call and our truest greatness. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.